The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. We'll get started here right away. All right, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Brandon Loudon. And before we get into the session, there's just a couple things I got to go over. If you cannot join us tomorrow, they're asking that we just drop lanyards off at the front desk on your way out the door this evening. Note that this session is being recorded. We are going to record like questions and answers too. We want to mention that our hallway musicians that you can hear in the front entrance there are all homeschool alumni or currently being homeschooled. And I don't really like this one because I have a yellow lanyard. But before leaving today, if you see someone with a yellow lanyard, please thank them. Without our volunteers, none of this would be possible. And please consider joining our team next year.
Thank you,
Brian. Oh, that's a lunch. This would be more of a question for tomorrow, or a note for tomorrow. If you bring a lunch for tomorrow, they're asking that we don't eat here on the second floor, that we eat on third or main, just because there's a restaurant here on second floor. There's one program change. The session Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Because of a health issue, a presenter was unable to attend, and the session he was presenting was entitled Evidence for the Tower of Babel, Dispersion. It has been changed to a session on choosing curriculum by Corey Dean. The last thing is during the supper break from 5:15 to 6:45 tonight, the teen track room, which is downstairs if you go to the registration desk and go to the right, there's a set of stairs going down. That room will be open for anyone who would like to play any board games. All right, that's it for the formalities. I will now introduce the panelists, and I'll go from your right, your left to right. Vera Loudon is my mother, and she is married to her high school sweetheart, Jim, for over 40 years. 30 years, sorry, over 30 years. She's not quite that old. She is mother to 7 sons and 7 daughters whom they have homeschooled since the beginning. Vera enjoys homemaking, photography, and gardening, and more recently, her title as grandma to 4 little ones. She has a vision for mentoring and encouraging fellow homeschooling parents and is responsible for our wonderful Mentor Center. So check that place out, it's really good. Linda Karn is right here. Linda and her husband home educated their children from birth through to adulthood, and they all went on to university or college. Now, after finishing college, one of them is applying to go back for another program. Their teaching style was a much more relaxed, eclectic environment as they realized that learning in children soars when it is interest-based. She loves children and loves education. She wants all children to have the best possible education, which is why she has recently started the West Winnipeg Homeschool Co-op to support and encourage homeschooling families, and why she ran in the 2022 Manitoba municipal elections and is now a public school trustee in Pembina Trails School Division. Erica Riley, next to Linda. Neil and Erica began their unofficial homeschooling journey when their first son was 2 years old, prior to which they had never heard of homeschooling. While spending time at Chapters with their baby in tow, Erica was set into the Lord's journey for her with a book called How to Teach Your Baby to Read by Glenn Doman. They had their son reading quickly but were dissatisfied with schooling options available. A homeschooling mom turned their attention towards homeschooling and so began their official homeschooling journey. 5 children later, now aged 19 to 27, after many years of ups and downs and a learning experience that felt trailblazingly new, she and her husband have gained a tremendous and humbling amount of insight. Never did it feel like they were a typical homeschooling family that did things the typical way. And all the way on the far right, Heather Tykrub is married to Dana. They have 10 kids, 2 in-law kids, and 4 grandkids. 4 have graduated. And the last one just started kindergarten this year. They have been homeschooling for 21 years. And myself, I'm a panelist and a moderator. So I have been married to my beautiful wife, Rosalind, who is at the top of the stairs here, for almost 4 years now. We have 2 little boys, and our 3rd child is due in early June. As I mentioned, I'm Vera's eldest son, and naturally was homeschooled my entire life. I graduated high school in 2016 and went on to start an apprenticeship in carpentry, achieving Red Seal status in 2022. So there you go. And I think at this point, we're gonna turn it over to the panelists to share your presentation. Who would like to go first? Mom.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? So when I was asked to go on this panel, I've actually never done this panel before, so I wasn't exactly sure how to prepare for it. And I kept teasing Brandon the whole time. I'm like, your story is my story, so you're better at talking. You better just share it. But anyways, he says, no, Mom, you have to talk. So just a couple of things I had jotted down. As your children grow up and you're homeschooling them, one thing that I found we really kept an eye out for was to watch for their natural abilities. So Brandon, at a very young age, showed a lot of abilities with tools and woodworking and just very hands-on kind of abilities he had. So that was a very natural kind of transition into the trades for him. This didn't mean that we ignored all other curriculum, because we still felt that if he's going to go into this kind of career, he still needs to know how to read and write and do all the math. Obviously, math is very important. So I would say choose a curriculum that doesn't overwhelm. I find a lot of hands-on children may not be very gifted with reading and writing. So don't stress. I think it's important to teach them the basics, but don't push them over the limit, because they will get extremely frustrated and disheartened if you're pushing too hard in those areas. So choose curriculum that doesn't overwhelm them, but expect completion in what you do choose for them. The one thing that you do, I guess, for the trades is you need to go, depending on which school you're checking into, check the website school requirements. The trades have different requirements for high school. So basically what we did with Brandon was I did keep a record of all his courses that he was taking at home, and I kept a record of his marks. So I just downloaded an online transcript form and just filled it in myself. And so he can tell the story better of how that all happened, but that's kind of the basic. So I just wanted to mention tomorrow here, I don't know which room it is, but there's a session on building a transcript. That's tomorrow at 2:30. So if you want to learn about building a transcript, that's a good session to go to. Is in this room. Okay, at 2:30 tomorrow, there's a session on building a transcript. So that could be very helpful. So I know our panel is called trades or college/trades. So some of you may have come here to talk about other than trades. So if you have any questions about that, we can probably talk about that. I have a little bit of information about that, and some of you panelists might as well, but that might be something. So yeah, I think that's kind of it.
Okay, I'm Linda Karn. I have three adult young people who were all homeschooled all the way, and they all went to college and university. When they first asked me to do this, I thought I was going to be on the university panel. And I know a lot more about getting into university than college. But I do have one child that went to college, so I'll just tell you her story. I totally agree with what Vera said about observing your child as they grow up and seeing what they're interested in, which way they go. And Vera said that you can tell whether they're more a hands-on type or an academic type. But my third child was a surprise, and she's a combination of an academic and a hands-on person. If she had gone to public school, I'm sure she would have been on Ritalin and some other drug in no time, because she just can't sit still. She did go to CMU for 1 year, but she just struggled with sitting in a desk and sitting in front of a computer and in classes. She just can't stay still. So we changed path with her, and she ended up going to Red River College. I'm advertising Red River College here. And culinary arts. She graduated in December from the culinary arts program, which is a trade. She's now working at the Fairmont Banff Springs Hotel and gathering her hours towards her red seal. College is interesting to get into, and quite honestly, it was easier for my other two kids to get into university than it was to get her into college. They accepted a home-generated transcript, and I would, yes, encourage you to go to that session tomorrow. If you can't get there, though, then you can see me, because I've done tons of work on transcripts, and I can give out samples, tons of samples of what transcripts look like. Red River was, she ended up doing they wanted a math. Well, actually, she can never make up her mind what she wants to do. She was looking into electrical as well. Should she be an electrician, or should she go into culinary, or should she do something else? She liked plumbing too. It all sounded good. You can't do it all. So now she's trying to get into electrical because she's a little bit bored in the food industry because she's not using her brain. She's using her hands. She loves being busy. But she's wanting to get into being an electrician now. So she got accepted to MITT for September, but she's on the wait list and probably won't get in for September. And the January next year is full. So now she can apply in June to maybe get in next May. So it's like, oh, what do you do? But to get into this program, you have to have, they want a grade 10 science and a grade 12 math. And they're very, very sticky at the college. MITT didn't require that. She was able to do testing that they have within their institution. A lot of colleges have that. So it's, you don't need to worry about getting high school credits. But Red River, she ended up doing, Winnipeg School Division does summer school. So she was able to do a grade 12 math credit in 3 or 4 weeks, one summer, a few years ago. She ended up with like a 90 or something. And she was really nervous because she hated math. But you know what? She did this grade 12 math, a full year math credit. She was bored out of her skull. She finished in 3 or 4 days what was supposed to take 2 weeks to do. And she thought she wouldn't pass this course. So don't worry, you guys. You know, if you're thinking, oh, is my kid going to manage in a high school credit class? They will have no problem. She did teaching textbooks math at home. So she was well prepared to take this credit. They also wanted a grade 10 biology. And this particular child of mine has a hard time doing something if she can't understand why she has to do it or why it doesn't make sense. So if you guys know what grade 10 science is in the public education system, is biology. So I need someone here to tell me what biology has to do with being an electrician. And nothing, right? So that's the majority of grade 10 science. So she couldn't get her head around that. So she said, Mom, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, well, you won't get into the program. So this is a little stumbling block. She's right now trying to find a way to do this grade 10 science because there's another place in Alberta she wants to apply to for an electrician program. But we'll see what happens. But there was last May, we had a Skills Canada competition. The national competition was here in Winnipeg. I think they do an annual skills competition. If your child is any way at all interested in trades, I would suggest you get them out to one of those events. Because she went last year, she was representing a Red River. They had a booth there, and she was putting icing on something or other and dishing out freebies. But they have all these trades, and the kids can try it out. They can try out carpentry and everything possible, machinist, and they have there. So it's a fabulous opportunity for your kid to try out a trade before they actually do it. And some colleges have where your child can go for a day and for a day or a week and explore a course, sit in with the classes to determine if they like it or not. So it's really good to see if the college that you're interested in will offer that and take advantage of that. Anyways, I'll pass the mic.
All right. My name is Erica Riley, and thank you, everyone, for being here and listening to all of us speak about our personal experiences. The one thing I would like to share with everyone is, especially the home educator in the home, when you have a high schooler or considering high school, just take a deep breath, breathe. It will work out. And the one big thing for me is follow your children's band. I remember I've come to the conference pretty much every year for many years, and there was one speaker that spoke about that. Follow your children's band. And I have five children, and I thought that there will be like two or three or four different personality types. I ended up with five different personality types. So four sons, one daughter, the youngest being the daughter. And they're also very different. My first child decided was very academic and went into university. My second child, which is the one that followed his heart into the trades, I would watch their his bands, and they were very different from his brother. He would like to go hang out with his dad, building a play structure, you know, things like that. He would build things with Lego. So it was very, very hands-on. So what I hear, like the other moms here spoke about, trace people are, you know, special kind of people that way. They are gravitate more towards hands-on, doing things, being bored if they're sitting down for too long. I remember that he would sit down doing math and he will look out the window, and I'm like earth to dust and kind of thing. And he ended up being the trades guy. He went into carpentry for Red River. And for us, our experience, I was always kind of a little bit unnerved. But again, I found the conference being really a good place to find encouragement and to find how do I do this, how do I do that. And what our experience was, I just went there. I wasn't very familiar with the internet at the time, nor that I wanted to be. I'm more of a hands-on kind of, I need to speak to somebody in person and know what it is, what my child needs. So we went to Red River, and I figured initially he wanted civil engineering, and then he changed his mind. And then, prior to that, he was considering architecture. So we actually tried Athabasca University. That's when he himself realized that, no, I'm not a university kind of person. I can't do it. He did a semester, got it finished, but that was it. And then he said, okay, not architecture. So let's try carpentry. And that's kind of what he ended up going towards, and got registered. And what they required for us at the time was to have a equivalency exam for testing for English. His math, like I said, we were kind of not your typical type of homeschool family. We were very eclectic that way. So prior to that, during high school, because I wanted to kind of some sort of a smooth transition into things, they ended up taking math. Two of them took math at U of W Collegiate, so they took the actual course, just the course at the collegiate, at the University of Winnipeg. So he had the math, but then with the English, he had the exam at Red River College. And I was really paranoid about that because he was the child that we never really specifically the full out an English curriculum, nor a spelling curriculum. So we read a lot at home, and that's what we did. So I was a little bit worried about him. And then he comes out and says, oh, you know, I think I did well. Like, what do you get? And then he tells me the course. I'm like, oh my goodness, he failed. He says, no, but it's out of this mark. And he was two marks shy of it. So I'm like, oh my goodness, okay. And he went into the pre-employment apprenticeship course when he enrolled. And he did that 1 year. And then, so he took the pre-employments. He didn't go straight into the apprenticeship. That's what had happened. And then after that, he went into work. And then at that point, he went into the apprenticeship. And now he is into just finish his third level. And I think he's going for his Red Seal next. So that's where we're at. And the number three and number four children, they decided, took a while, and they went to work. Now they're wanting to go into IT. So we're kind of walking that path right now.
And I would have quit if I had to do all that work, you guys. So my experience is totally different. Our oldest boy couldn't write a paragraph to save his life. So if you guys have kids who really don't like to write and stuff, don't worry about it. if they're wanting to go into something hands-on. I think that's kind of what Vera was saying too. But he was always very math-oriented more. We just were really blessed. He knew he wanted to be an electrician or some sort of electrical. He thought about hydro. I just feel the Lord kind of handed him this electrical apprenticeship. And somebody at church that we had just started going to, hey, my husband needs an apprentice. Okay, here you go. So right out of school, he started this apprenticeship. But we went through the apprenticeship program the other way, which I think maybe Brandon, you did too. This is my opinion and this is my experience. It is way easier to find a job, get them to get your kid on an apprenticeship, and then start after they get the hours for the first level, then go to Red River. I've heard just horror stories of trying to get in the other way. Or not horror stories of getting in, just they require so much more. I can't tell you how easy this was. The hardest thing for me that I lost some sleep over was that transcript. That was the most difficult part. So he went in and his employer took him down to the apprenticeship office, signed him up for it, and I got an email saying, hey, I just need a transcript from you, and I panicked. Because I just have to say, I'm the unorganized one of this panel. I was like, what did you do? I don't even remember what you did. Can you read? Okay, let's start there. I really do everything backwards, and it's probably more difficult, but that's just fly by the seat of my pants kind of person, and I figure I'm not changing now. So I did a transcript. It took me 2 weeks and not sleeping at night, and I handed it in and I kind of held my breath, and she said, thank you. And I never heard back from her. So obviously it worked. And that was it. And it was that easy. So I think if you're looking at, just from even hearing it, if you're looking at your kid getting into an apprenticeship, get him a job first with someone who can sign up for. I know nothing about that, about people who can sign you up and who can't, or I don't know anything, but like maybe you can talk about that. Yeah, but I think it's far easier that way. But I just, two more things. I panicked because my kid was going to Red River and he was going into the world, and was he going to stand on his own 2 feet? And he's too cheap to buy a parking pass, so he had to walk a long way. And he ended up, is that part of homeschooling, being cheap? Maybe it is.
No, I paid for the parking
permit. Oh, no. he ended up meeting a native fella who turned to Islam. And he ended up just trying to speak truth into this guy. Now, I mean, Brandon, you know Hunter, he is not a talker at all. So my mama's heart just really was very proud of him for doing that. And secondly, and this is no, I would do the biology over the physics, and he had to do physics. And I said, you're on your own, bud. I don't do physics. I did it once. I will never do it again. And so he had to learn it all himself. Like literally, that's where I draw the line with homeschooling, is physics. So he did the advanced physics. He did just half the book, and he got a 4.5 GPA on the course, average throughout the 4 years. And that is not anything that I did. I think that's what you just, yeah. I mean, you just need to teach them how to learn and how to learn themselves. And so we quite often as homeschoolers go, but did they learn enough? You don't need to learn enough. You'll learn it when you need it. You just need to learn to learn.
Well, that was amazing. I mean, I don't have anything left to say. No, I actually do want to touch on a bunch of things that were mentioned, because that was a lot of really good commentary, and I want to touch on some of that and share my own experience. So, yeah, I was like the classic teenage kid. Now, that's how I guess that was my experience. I would describe myself as a classic kid. I probably wasn't. And I just hated school. Like, I hated writing. I liked math, and physics was amazing. That stuff was good. But writing an essay was like, what am I doing? Reading poetry was like, why are we reading this? Like, who's writing this stuff? Who reads this stuff, right? That was my experience. I think it was Erica was talking about her son Dawson just staring out the window. My mom had to call me back, Brandon, pay attention to school. And I'm just like looking in the forest. Oh, there's a squirrel over there. You know, like, whoa, right? So that was my experience, right? I detested high school, and I was always very glad I did not have to go to school because I could just either not do my schoolwork or get it done really quick and then go outside and play. But then, you know, as I get into high school, people start asking you, so what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And you start thinking, you know, I start thinking, what am I going to do next? Because I want to get married, and I want to be able to provide for my wife and my kids, right? And so I need a job, and obviously that's just natural. But it's like, what do I do, right? And it was pretty clear, like my mom mentioned, yeah, my parents, my grandparents were involved in my life and just noticing me and saying, okay, what's he good at? And guiding me in that way. And for me, through their guidance, through my own interest, it was very clear, okay, something hands-on. I'm always building. I'm always fixing stuff. I mean, my hands are black right now because this morning coming to the conference, I had to rip a CV axle out of my truck because it snapped and was like, so I'm always into stuff, you know, with my hands, and it's always been that way. So it was very clear, but it was always like, okay, what am I going to do, you know? Could I do electrical? Because I could. I was somewhat interested, you know. Could I do plumbing? My grandma actually often told me to do plumbing because they make a lot of money, which is true. They do make more than carpenters. But yeah, it doesn't smell very nice. So I did think about automotive tech as well because I'm always wrenching on cars and I always enjoyed that. Carpentry was always kind of there. My grandpa was very like a carpenter, and so I was always working on stuff with him, and he always encouraged me, hey, you're really good at this. You need to look into this, right? Or cabinet making, do I go off on a bit of a slightly different tangent in some more finished carpentry? And I actually, when I was about 17 in grade 12, I started poking around on the Apprenticeship Manitoba website, and I came across a chart of like wages, and I go, cabinet making, $15 an hour for like a level 4. I'm like, oh, that's not very good. Right? Automotive tech, $19 an hour, level 4. Oh, that's not very good either, right? Heavy duty mechanic is a high mandated wage. And then I see carpentry. Oh, $32 an hour. Oh, I like that. You know, that's that was actually honestly part of it. I was like, is this even going to pay? You know, is this actually going to do what I want it to do? So anyways, I get into grade 12, my grade 12 year, and I'm still, I don't know, what am I doing with my life, right? And a friend of mine approached me one day. I was playing hockey, and he came up to me. He said, hey, you want a job? He said, he was marrying my cousin the next summer. And he said, I'm building a house. My dad and I are building it. His dad was a Red Seal carpenter. He was an apprentice on a different company. And he said, if you would like a summer job, we'll give you a job, and we'll sign you up as an apprentice under his dad, right, who was actually an instructor at the college, which was funny. So that was my first job. I said, okay, there we go. And you know, my dad was a big part of that decision too. He kind of said, well, this seems like something the Lord has provided, you know? And it was, right? So I got in that way. They signed me up and I spent 7 months working for them. I got about half of my level 1 hours I needed. And that was how I got into the trade. And I wanted to touch on something that Heather was mentioning versus, you know, her experience with Hunter versus Linda getting into carpentry with her son. No, Linda, the culinary arts, and then Erica, you had your son getting into carpentry. There are two different ways to do it. You can do what Erica did with Dawson, and you can do the pre-employment, and you go directly to Red River College, and you enroll, and that's a good way to do it. A couple notes on that. Downside is you have to pay for it out of pocket. I think it's about $5,000.
No.
It's not quite that much?
No.
Okay. 3,000? Yeah, so it's not really expensive. I think it's 6 months. Is that right? 6 months? 9 months? It's a full school year. But you get your level 1. So then you get a job, and they sign you up as a level 2 immediately. So your first year is actually then shorter. You're accredited all the hours.
The one thing, too, is that my son wasn't 100% sure that he wanted carpentry. So that was kind of like his dabbling. And we're kind of the kind of family, yeah, education, learning, experience. Gaining experience is going to cost you money, yeah, one way or the other. So what I was concerned about, and we were concerned about, if he went into the apprenticeship first, you know, if you know that that's what you want to do, maybe that works out. We weren't so lucky to be able, or so blessed in that department, to have someone that was signed our son up right away. We didn't know a whole lot of people. We were like homeschoolers, so we, in the community where we live, we went to a church that was in the city. So in the immediate community, we didn't know a whole lot of people. And the carpenters in the area weren't signing up any apprentices. So we were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I said, you know what? Give it a shot. Do try the pre-employment. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, then at least you tried it and you didn't like it, and maybe there is something else that you could try for. So we've always been kind of open that way as a homeschool family. Getting into wanting to learn something and finding out that it's not for you or wasn't really your thing, it's okay, still experience, and it's gonna be good for you for whatever, in the end, wherever God might take you. So that's kind of how we looked at it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, so that's a good benefit of the pre-employment program, is that too, right? Now, you can sign up an apprenticeship, but you don't really wanna make an agreement with your boss if you're not actually like, hey, I'll be here for a week, can we try this, you know? The second thing that sometimes the pre-employment comes in really handy, and specifically with electrical, to work as an electrician, you have to be either trade certified or an apprentice. You can't just go pull wires on a job without either being signed up or being Red Seal certified. Carpentry, plumbing, HVAC, a lot of the other trades are not, they call it certification compulsory. They're not, you don't have to be certified to work in those trades, but electrical, because of the kind of heightened risks of poor workmanship, it's the one trade that they do require you to be certified. So if you can't find someone that doesn't want to take inexperienced workers for an electrical, if you can go get your pre-employment, then you have a year of experience. So that's a good thing. Whereas as a carpenter, I could go take a job anywhere and just work as a carpenter, and they can hire me as an inexperienced guy and they don't have to pay me trade rates. So that's one of the things I wanted to mention about the pre-employment. Now, if you can find someone that will sign you up as an apprentice right off the hop, as was my experience and Hunter's experience, all you need is the high school transcript. And when I was getting in for carpentry, I only needed grade 10. I did have grade 12, but they actually only required you to be 16 years old and grade 10. I don't know if that's still the case. I was 8 years ago. It's a while ago, right? So it may have changed. But yeah, if you can get directly in with the employer, it is a lot easier, because then you're not dealing with Red River College. You're dealing with Apprenticeship Manitoba. You send in a transcript and an application for apprenticeship to them. Once they approve that, which I think they always do if you have the required documents, because they want people in the trades. They really do, right? Then you go through apprenticeship and you enroll for schooling when it comes time to go to school, directly through apprenticeship website, and then they send the application to the college. And it's not like a yes or no, it's like, okay, as Apprenticeship Manitoba, we are sending Brandon Loudon for level 1 at this time at your school. And they pay for it, and they pay you EI when you're there, and so it's free. You have to pay like a $400 or $500 fee, but it's a $5,000 tuition that the province just pays once you're an apprentice. So I just wanted to mention those things about the two different ways to get in. I just wanted to mention that. So yeah, my experience was going through apprenticeship. And I wanted to go over a little bit my experience at the college, just to encourage, I think, you guys as parents, specifically when it comes to like the education part of homeschooling. You know, I know there's multiple reasons to homeschool, and development of character is probably among the most important. But I don't buy the mentality that, oh, because you're homeschooled, you can't be educated well. And I'll explain how that worked. You know, my first level at the college, I remember being really nervous. I'm like 18 years old, I've never been in a classroom in my life, right? Like, I don't know how to do this, you know, what's it like? And so I remember the night before, my dad came into my room and I was awake still, and he's like, so you're okay? And so he prayed with me and he asked actually specifically that I would have a friend, that I would meet someone that I could just hang out with. So that was kind of his prayer, which was cool, you know? So the next day I get there, paid for parking, parked on campus, I always refused to walk, and I actually always laughed at the people that walked because they were always late and they were always stressed. Every morning they come in, I had to park 6 blocks away. I'm like, yeah, it's $140 for 2 months to park right there. And then the second year I paid for powered parking because it was right by the building and it was like $20 more. I'm like, it's right here. So that, yeah, I guess that wasn't cheap, you know? Or they would park on the parking lot and get tickets, and it's $30 every time. And the one guy's like, yeah, I got 8 tickets this year. I'm like, dude, that's what it costs to pay for a permit. and then they wouldn't pay, and then the college withholds your certification until you pay up. Anyways, so I go first day there early and in the classroom, and just kind of you're sitting there, you know, there's 14 other guys, like, okay, how's this going to go? And I'm going to notice this one guy. He's sitting across the room from me, and about my age, very well dressed. He's got the long, you know, like, I don't think he had a 3-piece suit and tie, but he was like a suit pants, hair all combed, really nice, you know, like, wow, that guy's taking this seriously, you know, like, this is carpentry, you know? So we're introducing ourselves. He's like, yeah, I do concrete. We're like, oh, this doesn't really add up, whatever. it just didn't make sense to me. So the next day, day two, he's sitting in front of me and he's got a sweater for a private Christian school on. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So he walked past me and said, so you go there, you know? And because I have some friends who went to the same school. And he said, yeah, for grade 12. I was homeschooled up until grade 11. I'm like, huh, well, that's kind of cool. I was homeschooled all the way through. So, you know, he was another believer and we hit it off. You know, I hit it off really well. We spent every lunch together. We had a couple of the guys that hung out with us. So that was cool. I remember my first test. You know, it's like, oh boy, this is, you know, Red River College, this is big, right? How am I going to do? Get a test, 100%. Like, whoa, okay. My teacher was like, good job, man. You know, he was really impressed. He was kind of funny. And so, you know, I continued going through, and I ended up with the final average at level one of 96%. Level one was my final average, all practical, all written tests. And I go like, wow, that was crazy. And I was top of the class, the top student. And I'm like, but I hate school. Like, I'm not good at school, you know? And I just aced the class, right? It was my final was an A+. And I thought, that's kind of weird. You know, all these guys, except for the one who was actually, I think he was like 1% below me. The whole other homeschool guy, he was like right there. We were always comparing grades. How'd you do? You know, everyone compares grades. He's like, how'd you do? Oh, you know, 100%. Oh yeah, me too. So it was fun. He and I were kind of egging each other on and competing, but also brothers. So that was my level one. It was like, wow, that was cool, you know? Level two, kind of same thing. And I got a 97% average, and it was like, okay, this is getting harder now, and my grades are going up, right? And that was encouraging for me as a homeschool kid to realize, wow. And I'm going to point out one thing that I forget who mentioned this. I learned how to learn because I was homeschooled, and my mom's like, I don't know how to do this. Because it's like, what is this? You know, it's algebra, and plane geometry, and physics, right? Chemistry was brutal. But I got to learn how to learn, and that enabled me in college. And when I got there, it's like, I don't know how to do this, but I know how to figure out how to do it. When I was in level one, I became aware of Skills Canada, as was mentioned by Linda. And it's a competition that the top students get nominated to compete in. And yeah, as Linda mentioned, they have a lot of other booths and displays and people, you know, you can try a trade, but the main thing is the competition, the skills competition. And so for me, that was like, oh, I want to go to skills, right? And like, what do I need to do to get the skills? It's like, good grades, and the teachers need to like you. So the teachers did like me, and I wasn't trying to manipulate them, but. So yeah, level two was the grade that they went off of. And again, level two, 97%, and I was top of the class again. And so sure enough, the one instructor comes up to me and says, yep, I put your name in. You're nominated. Oh, he told me at the beginning of level two, he said, I put your name in, they're watching you. It's like, oh, wow, okay. So that was encouraging, right? That was my level two motivation. And the following spring, got the call, hey, you're nominated. We want you to come to Skills Manitoba. And I said, absolutely, I'm coming right now. Like, I'm coming. I just told him right on the phone, I'm coming. Okay, we'll send you the forms. So I filled out the forms. And then a month later, yeah, they canceled. It's like, oh, COVID, right? It was the COVID time where everything was getting shut down. So that was a disappointment. Next year, I'm in level three. They came up to me again. Okay, we want you to come this year for skills. They gave me a second chance to go, which is, I appreciated that. So I went to Skills Manitoba, and I'll explain the competition. For carpentry, it's a 6-hour competition building a small playhouse from the floor up, including the rafters. So in a lot of detail, it's measured in metric, which is really weird because it's the Canadian standard, but nobody uses metric other than like hospitals and like government projects, right? But whatever, here you go, metric tape measure. Never used it before. And I won gold, which was good. It was like, okay, this is fun, right? So then I was nominated for Skills Canada, which is the bigger competition. And they're like, you wanna go to Skills Canada? I said, absolutely, yeah, of course I wanna go, right? And there I got silver, which is a bit of a disappointment. It's like, oh man, you know? Because if you win Skills Canada, you could get nominated to go to World Skills, which is like, it was in China, right? And the one guy's, you wouldn't go to China, would you? You know, again, this is during COVID. I'm like, oh yeah, I'd go to China. Oh really? I'm like, oh yeah, I don't mind, you know? Send me over there. Anyways, didn't happen. So that was the big thing for me. You know, I'm a homeschool kid. I'm like the nobody, not educated, even though I was, right? And just level one, top of the class, level two, top of the class. And I was trying, but I was able to do it, right? And so level three, I got married during level three. And so for level three, my grades dropped, you know, being married. So I got 94% for level three, which is again, top of the class. And it was a fun thing I should note here, level three and level four, because again, it was during COVID, there was a lot of at-home classes and all the guys were like, oh, I have to focus at home. And I go, yes, I get to be at home again, right? And it was an advantage for me because I knew how to do school at home. And then level four, I got a final average of 95% on the total thing, including the interprovincial exam. I got a 90%, which was the highest that I knew of anybody in that year doing it. And for me, again, that was just like part of my mission in going to college was to be excellent in what I do, but also, look, homeschoolers, we can do this because we can be educated, you know? And so a couple months after I wrote my IEP, I got a letter in the mail, big package, open it up, gold medal. Red River College, gold medal across all classes, about 70 students, 60 to 70 students. I was the top student in the whole year. And that was, for me, just kind of like really special, just to realize, wow, I was like, I had the best grades, you know, I was the top student. And I share all of this not to like brag and say, oh, look at me, right? But to just to share a vision, like as homeschoolers, we can do really, really well. That's how I feel about it. That was my experience. Again, the only guy that actually was ever a competition was another homeschool kid. Like he was the only one that ever competed with me in the class for actual grades. And so, yeah, that's something I just wanted to share. And just, that was my experience. You know, I now have two boys and I'm not really thinking about schooling yet. But when it does come to that time, yeah, high school is going to be daunting. You know, how do you teach it? The question that people say all the time is like, you know, how are you qualified to do this? As to the moms, homeschool moms, I'm sure some of you have heard this. How are you qualified to train your kids? And my answer would be to that question, my answer would be, you know, if the question was, do you need to be trained as a teacher to homeschool your kids? My answer to that would be, yes, you do, if you're going to make up all your curriculum. But if you're not going to make up all your curriculum and create everything, you don't need to be a teacher. You don't need to be trained in how to create curriculum. You know, I'm not paid to say this, but there's a whole floor above us with a lot of companies that are selling curriculum. And it's easy to actually learn how to train your kids. I used a Becca from kindergarten to grade one to nine, right? I did grade nine at Becca. And then from grade 10, 11, and 12, I used ACE. And it was, you know, it worked, right? And it was easy for mom to know how to set courses for me and to grade them and to just keep track of everything. The curriculum's all laid out very well. There's so many options now, which is really, really nice. And so I would, you know, as my wife and I have now talked about how are we gonna do schooling? And I said, yeah, if we wanna make our own curriculum at some point, that's fine, but we're probably gonna start with ACE, and we're just gonna buy grade one for our oldest when he's in grade one. We're just gonna buy the grade one courses and we're gonna do it as we go. We'll maybe mix it up and say, we wanna try this and we'll try that. But, you know, I've encouraged her in that because she's been a little more daunted than I have with the education. And I just said, yeah, there's curriculum and we can go with it. So that's kind of my experience having been homeschooled. Linda has something she wants to say.
I just want to tag on a little bit to what Brandon was saying. Your homeschool kids will do great at post-secondary. College is different than university, and university is sort of like those of you who went to high school, remember you had to have so many English credits, so many science credits, and so many math credits. Degrees are the same. Even if you want a major in science, you still have to take some of this and some of that, some something else. At college, you don't. You're just taking, if you're going into culinary, you're just taking cooking. They may throw a little bit of communication in. If you're just taking carpentry, you're just doing carpentry. That's why Brandon excelled, is because he was doing what he loved. He didn't like school, but he loved carpentry. And everything they were doing, I'm sure he did a lot of hands-on stuff. Same as culinary, it's all hands-on stuff. So all of your kids will do well. They will stand out. In the ways my daughter stood out is she asked a lot of questions, really frustrated one of her chefs, because when he found out she was homeschooled, he says, "That's why you're the way you are." And she was a little frustrated by that, but I said, "It's just because you ask a lot of questions." Well, she says, "I want to learn. I want to know everything. I want to know why this and why that." And so that's a good thing that they're like that. So, I'll just turn it back to Brandon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, in my carpentry schooling, it was about 8 weeks every year. Out of the year is 8 weeks in school. It's four times you go to school. And every day it's about 7 hours of class time, about half shop and half classroom. And one day a week I would have an elective course for 1 hour. And so the 1 year it was computers, and it was like learning how to type on Microsoft Word. And like, if you don't know how to use Microsoft Word, it takes about 2 minutes to learn, right? And the other one was, you know, there's a science course every year, but it was like grade 7 science. Like, it was really easy for me based on my experience. So there are some elective courses, but the teachers were good, and it was not anything new. It was more just supplemental. You know, we had to do a couple presentations of, like, the one level one is like, present, you take a tool and you give an oral presentation and a demonstration of how the tool works. So a little bit of that stuff is always good, and it helped me. But yeah, I would agree with that it's not like you're going to be doing all sorts of other courses that... How does this relate to carpentry? It doesn't. So.
But even if you're shy and quiet, you don't mind speaking because you just love it. Because my daughter was shy and quiet, but she loved cooking. So she had no problem doing presentations in front of people. So.
And I've never been one to give presentations, but I think I was the only guy to consistently get 95 to 100%. Because the trade school is a bunch of people that are hands-on, right? It's not like it's not like I went as a carpenter against a bunch of people that were into literature. And then now we have to give a presentation, and they have, you know. So, yeah. I think that's it for me. Does anybody else have any commentary before we open it up for questions? I think at this point, given the time, I'd just like to see if anyone has questions, and we will try to answer them as best we can.
Well, if none of you have a question, I do. Oh, sorry.
I have a question regarding doing an apprenticeship during high school years.
Okay.
So is that a possibility?
Yeah. So I'm not super familiar with that because I didn't do it, but you're working as a part-time job, and they will give you, you can gain level 1 hours doing that. So you can work, yes, absolutely, during high school. And not only that, but based on how much you work, every set number of hours, I don't know the number, so don't quote me on it, but every set number of hours you work, you get a high school credit. So if you're going for your 30 credits for high school, which I didn't get, but if you're wanting to go for it, like my friend who did it, that I built the house for, he got 7 high school credits working as a carpenter during high school. So yeah, you absolutely can. You just have to find an employer that is willing to do it. But from age 16 and up, you can be signed up as an apprentice. And yeah, that's what I know. Does anybody else?
I think it's just for carpentry though, right?
It may be just
I'm
for carpentry.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Is it just for carpentry?
We just signed up my son, so we haven't gotten it fully, but on the application, there is a section, how many credit hours to apply towards him already. So that's for agriculture, automotive technician.
So she commented that in the application there was credit hours. Now I think my understanding of that is more to do with when someone signs you up as an apprentice, they can look at you and say, you've been working for me for a year before now and you've worked 1900 hours, and so we're just gonna dump the 1900 hours on top of that.
You'd still have to do the class.
You have to still do the class, but you can Now, this is, again, not for electrical, specifically not for electrical, because, like I said, you have to be signed up as an electrician before you start working. But let's say Bradley, my brother, wanted to come work with me over the summers in the next 2 years. You're 16 now, right? So he could. Let's say over the next 2 summers, he works with me part-time and he works 500 hours. As a carpenter, he doesn't have to be signed up as an apprentice to work those hours. And then when he graduates, let's say he goes, okay, I want to work as a carpenter, get my red seal. He comes and works with me. He had all those hours with me. I can then credit those hours to his apprenticeship. And if he does 500, 600 hours, that goes straight onto his level one. So I think that's how that works. Yeah.
If a parent is a Red Seal carpenter or whatever, can they teach and can the child come out of high school with their level one completed because they've received instruction from their parent who is a Red Seal?
That's a good question. I think you still have, so the question was if the parent is a Red Seal tradesman, and if the student works with the parent during high school, can the student get enough hours to obtain level one just in high school? Right. So again, I'll go back to my friend whose dad was a Red River College instructor and a Red Seal carpenter. My friend got the 7 high school credits and I don't know how many hundreds or maybe 1,000 hours in high school working with his dad who was a Red Seal. But I think he still had to go to school for the level one. Even if he got the 2,000 hours required or the 1,800 hours required, I think you still have to go to the school to get your schooling. Because every level in carpentry is 1,800 hours, and that 1,800 is approximately 500 on the job site and 300 in class. Makes up the 1,800 hours that you need to achieve that level. So if Bradley worked with me for 1,500 hours over the next 2 years in high school, he could go straight from graduating into Red River College and do his level one class, if that makes sense. Yeah.
If that was the case, would he have to be registered in the apprenticeship program and you'd have to register for that?
So again, it depends on the trade. For carpentry, I can credit hours to him if he's worked with me before we sign an agreement. As an electrician, you can't work without an agreement. I'm not sure that it's trade specific. So I can't answer to other trades, but for carpentry, yeah. He doesn't have to be signed up before he does all that. But he can only get those hours for if he works for me. If he works for someone else, I couldn't credit him the hours.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they have to be on a pay stub documented. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's about 19 that are like Red Seal trades, and then there's I think you're right. There's up to 55 or more that are journeyman trades, but the certification wouldn't necessarily apply to other provinces. But yeah, there are tons of options. If you go on Apprenticeship Manitoba's website, they have a full list of all the trades that are available.
And if I may add, also, I know we're kind of focusing a lot on the trades. With the other two sons that I have, they just want to go to college, for example, IT. There's different options also to get in through just regular college courses. And my third and fourth child, both of them, they both are interested in IT. But then it's interesting because one of them, my fourth one, was a little intimidated, thinking, I don't know that I want to take a whole entire IT course and then find out that I don't like it. So then he ended up actually signed up for a shorter term course that actually already started. And it's kind of online, so bonus, he's been homeschooled. He's doing it at his own pace. He's pretty much taken over his own education. I've always told the kids, like, this is your life. So your education is your life, your responsibility. So like what happened with Brandon and a lot of these our kids, right? Like all of a sudden is like, oh, I gotta take this on myself. And he's doing quite well. Then my third child, he actually decided to sign up for the whole entire thing. He had been working as a cabinet maker with a job directly from high school. And I think he noticed what you said, the pay is not the greatest. So then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I wanna do something else. And then he looked into IT and then he signed up for the whole course of the whole entire year through Red River. And that is starting in September. So just know that as much as we have focused on the trades, there is many, 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 many college courses which are actually very interesting to kind of dabble, like not even dabble, but look into and see if your child is attracted to that or is interested in that, or if that's the way the Lord is kind of guiding him to or guiding her to, with the culinary, for example, here as another example. But yeah, don't be afraid. Like, don't be afraid to call up the college. I'm not much of a tech savvy person that will go into a website. I get lost in all that. Like, my kids are really whiz on that. I'd rather just go in there and ask, okay, what are we required? You know, and then they have a whole wall at Red River in the where the office where you register is a whole wall with all of the little pamphlets of all of the stuff that they offer at the college. So that's the experience that I've also can share with you guys, that yeah, go do the legwork and that's fine. You know, you learn, you always learn something new, even if you have to do the legwork that way. All right.
Yeah, my cousin, on that note, my cousin is right now at Red River doing engineering. I think he's right now taking a civil engineering course, and then he'll have a lot of options from there as far as what he wants to, what specific engineering degree he wants to pursue. But yeah, he's doing exactly that. So. So my mom was just telling me that for my cousin to get into the engineering at Red River, he went through, sorry, what was the website? I don't know about this. There's a special admissions page on the Red River College website, and then he took the required courses or tests.
Yeah.
Was it online?
I think so.
Okay, and that was how he got in? Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, my experience is pretty specific to the trade, so.
So many of the trades don't have pre-employment courses, like the program that Brandon did would be called pre-employment.
No, I did not do.
Was yours not pre-employment?
No.
Okay, so they have pre-employment and they have, we can go for a year. So pre-employment are usually 3 to 4, 4 or 5 months, 6 months, and then you can do like a full year course in some of them, but some of the trades don't have any pre-employment or any course that you can go to first. And my daughter looked into doing what Heather's daughter did, her son did, just going right to, so she went and applied at about a dozen or more electrical companies to try to get on, but being female, you'd think she would have a better chance, just, you know, the way the world works, eh? But none of them were interested. They said they all wanted you to have the course first. They all wanted you to go do the pre-employment course first. So I'll talk to you more about that after. And if any of you know, have any stories about anybody that did get right into an employer first, I think that's a great way to do it. But yeah.
And again, I'll just note on that note, that is again largely the case with electricals, that you have to do pre-employment first because of the fact that you can't work without any training. Sure. Yeah, if you can get it to the union, yeah.
That's how much I've got in. My
okay.
Dad,
sure.
Years ago, manager of the union. Somebody up in the hall.
Right.
And
is he still in the union?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But union jobs are typically industrial or commercial,
not
residential so much because they do union projects.
So what she mentioned there was her son went through the electrical union. And yeah, the electrical union is quite big in Manitoba. For carpentry and a lot of other trades, it's not a big union. And there's not a lot of people doing it because it's just not big because of the certified being necessary.
But you might want to go to the union for your daughter because they try to, they're trying to
I will mention that, yeah, apprenticeships are being incentivized by the Manitoba government right now quite heavily. They're really trying to push employers to hire and sign up apprentices right now. If, as an employer, you hire a first-year apprentice, you're eligible for a $5,000 grant per apprentice. You can have two apprentices. You can claim up to two grants. Now, if your apprentice is either a woman or visible minority or have a bunch of other alphabet number, you know, letters attached to the description, then the employer is eligible for actually $10,000. So specifically to your daughters, I'm not pushing to send anybody to the trades if they don't want to, but yeah, employers are incentivized right now. I've actually looked into that for signing up my wife as an apprentice. Like, I could take the $10,000. But my uncle, who also looked into it at his kids, informed me that the apprentice has to go to school within a year of the agreement being signed. So I thought, oh, man.
I was wondering if we should mention what Red Seal means. Does everybody know what Red Seal means? It's like a national certification for trades. Once you finish your, some trades it's 3 years, or some are four, a certain number of hours per year, and every one of the thousands of trades is different. But when you're finished, you write an exam, and once you've got your hours in and you've done all your stints at college, your little time blocks, then you write an exam and you're qualified to work across the country. You know, if you go to Newfoundland, you don't have to redo your papers or anything. So it's a good program in that regard.
Yeah, once you get a Red Seal, you're certified for everyone in Canada except for Quebec. They are different.
And they can work here, but you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And then also I should mention that if a lot of the trades now, like, are really good, that if you take your level 1 in Manitoba and then you move to Alberta, most, or at least a lot of the trades, you can just continue in the separate province and you don't have to restart. I think I have a friend who was going to Ontario and he was saying that he would not be able to transfer that. So that was his experience.
Well, just in Alberta with electrical, they have Red and Blue Seal.
That's right. Alberta, that's a very good point. I didn't know that for sure, so I didn't want to bring it up.
My sister's an electrician.
Okay. So Alberta has red and blue seals. A blue seal is provincial only. So if you get a blue seal in Alberta, you are only certified to work in Alberta. Very good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, because I have a cousin who did it in Alberta. And he did somehow, he did get the red seal, but he brought that up. He's like, oh man, I could almost have gotten ripped off. And now he's working as an electrician in Manitoba.
As far as blue seal?
Yeah, like if you have your blue seal, can you not, if you transfer over, can you not challenge the national certification?
So you can challenge a national certification. I'm not sure how that works from a blue seal. I'm guessing you could challenge. Anybody can challenge, well, not anybody, but you can challenge the red seal certification at any point, but you have to have 10,800 hours of work experience in that field within the last 6 years. And then, yeah, you can go challenge the course. I think it's like a $250 fee or a $500 fee, and you go, you do a 6-hour practical test or a 4-hour practical test, and you write the IP, and if you pass, you are then certified. I'll just put it out there, we're a little bit over time, but if there's any last questions, we can take that now, and then, you know, I think most of us will stay here for a little bit if anybody else wanted to talk. So anybody have a final question? Yeah. Where do you work? Where do you work? Okay. Yeah, very good. Very good. Actually, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, he was just saying that heavy, is that heavy duty techs? A specific?
Army equipment is actually a specific. Okay. You can go into Army equipment, heavy duty, or truck.
Okay.
And either one of those people, they're all looking for everybody.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a very good point. I have a friend. I don't think he's here right now. I think he's coming later. But he just got in at a John Deere dealership a couple of months ago. And yeah, there seems like they're willing to sign him up right away.
Wages are really good.
Very good. Yeah, wages are very good. And yeah, they're going to sign him up as an apprentice. And he's, yeah, 18 years old. So And then, yeah, he was saying that that's farm equipment, but it also with heavy duty industrial, similar, there's a high demand for workers. All right, I will close the official session there. Thank you everyone for joining us.